KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Hlinédi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. The tidelands where our studios sit are now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots, but they were once an embarking point for fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and a place where children played on the beaches and learned to row in the harbor. In sharing this history, KTOO hopes to honor the ancestors and the descendants of the Akkwan. We recognize those families who have never relinquished their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterways and continue to cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront for today and for future generations. We'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gnathchish to Vera Starbird, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all of those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Subsistence, hunting, fishing, foraging, and harvesting are a traditional as well as a daily part of the life for many Alaskans, and for others, maybe not so much. So joining us now, Jennifer New, Community Foods Program Director for the Coalition of Food and Sustainability Catalyst for the Southeast Sustainable Partnership. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
That's quite a title.
It's a couple titles jumbled together. Thank you.
Yeah. And Megan Stanglin, Manager of the Salt and Soil Marketplace. Hello, Megan.
Hi.
Thanks so much to both of you for being here today. And I just want to mention that you and your respective organizations are also both part of the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. And today you're here to talk about a 7-day Eat Local food challenge. So let's start with a little background. How did this idea come to be?
Yeah, so this the Local Foods Challenge started as a way to really get us more connected to our food system. So it's not just where about what we eat, but it's about where it comes from, who's involved, and all the impacts it has along the way. And so the challenge is about, in general, is about increasing our knowledge, our skills, and then strengthening the networks that we have around supporting our local and regional food system.
Megan, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, so this food challenge is part of a larger summer-long program that is the Southeast Alaska Local Foods Challenge. And so this is kind of the culminating project at the end of the season where we can really foster a sense of celebration around local foods and everything that we've been doing all summer long in terms of hunting, gathering, and learning Skillshare information and sharing with others about the local food systems here in Southeast.
When it comes to this challenge, the actual eating of the food is actually kind of the last step. There's a lot of categories and levels of participation that lead up to consumption. And the way you've organized it all is very comprehensive. So I wondered if we could talk a little bit more about that, if you could kind of share the different levels and the different categories and what went into putting all that together.
Yeah, so we have 10 categories. As part of the challenge. And so four of the categories are all about harvesting. So here in Southeast, we're really fortunate that we can gather a lot of wonderful wild foods. We can hunt, there's fishing, a lot of seafood. We can also grow different things to eat. And we can also buy local foods as well from the people who are producers. And then the other categories are centered around so food preservation, so being able to safely put away foods for winter for long-term storage when these foods are not available. And then as far as distributing, we have the share category, which is traditionally a way that people can distribute foods to those who maybe aren't able to get them themselves. It's always wonderful to share with family members. And so sharing is a really big part of an equitable food system. And then finally, we've got the closing the gaps, I call it, which is composting, nutrient recovery, And so figuring out ways to recover the things that that can be used again. So feeding what feeds our food system. So composting food scraps, fish scraps, and then also reducing food waste.
Megan, what would you add to that? Since you're sort of on the, I don't know if you would call it the sharing category, or how would you describe your role as a retailer of local foods?
Yeah, I have a great job. I get to be the market manager of the Southeast Alaska Local Food Hub, which if you haven't heard about it, the Salt and Soil Marketplace is basically an online farmer's market. So I get to connect with local food producers throughout the region. We have at least 11 different communities with producers currently participating on the marketplace all throughout Southeast. And then I get to be that connection between local food and the consumer, or local food producers and the consumers. So I really have a really neat job in getting to communicate about local food opportunities, but also connect consumers with the amazing number of local food producers we have in the community. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to fall into this trap of feeling isolated from the rest of the world, or even the rest of the United States in terms of access to food. But when we really look at the number of food producers and the number of food resources we have available locally, it's pretty staggering. So getting to connect consumer with producer is exciting.
So kind of stating the obvious here, but eating local, subsistence, hunting, fishing, foraging, you know, Native Alaskans have been doing that for thousands of years. It's nothing new. But these days, how easy or difficult is it to connect to sustain that way of life, to learn it, to get back to it? What are some of the barriers?
I think one of the biggest parts of this challenge, the challenge is really designed about having each individual participant take a look at how they currently interact with their food system, identify where they stand in terms of that process, and then attempt to level up. So if you are already somebody who is very knowledgeable about fishing within your community, it's our hope that you connect with other individuals who are also interested in fishing. Or if you're super knowledgeable about food preservation, or maybe about foraging for mushrooms or certain species of plants, it's our hope that people who are passionate and knowledgeable about certain areas of our food system share that information with others, because that sharing culture is so incredibly important in ensuring that a lot of this traditional knowledge and experiential learning is passed on to other people.
So it's September now, and by now a lot of people will have fish, berries, seafood, et cetera, stored away. What else does someone need to succeed with this challenge? I guess now I'm thinking in terms of like putting together a menu for your 7 days.
Yes, I'll jump in. And then if Jen wants to add as well, I think this is the most exciting part of the challenge, because it is challenging. But when you do recognize how many options we have for locally available food, it's pretty staggering. I mean, for one thing, you could probably take a look at your own fridge or freezer. And if you've been fishing at all this summer, I mean, that's a great start to any meal right there. If you're a hunter and you still have a freezer full of game meat, then that's awesome as well. But I think that this challenge is also an opportunity to be able to connect with local producers that maybe you haven't ventured to before. We have a lot of really amazing local food resources everywhere from the marketplace, Salt and Soil, to folks like Panhandle Produce, who are doing something very similar in a brick and mortar scale. And to be able to take maybe recipes that you make on a weekly basis and determine how you could tweak that recipe to include more local food items. It's really important that we support our local producers. It's important for our own health and nutrition and sense of well-being. It's important economically for the producers in our communities. But there's also a very large amount of money that goes out of state to be able to purchase items from local food chains, which oftentimes we could find very even better alternatives here locally. So really challenging people to take a look at what they do eat on a daily basis and see what simple swaps they could make that will make a huge difference, not only for them personally, but also for our economics and in our community.
Yeah. Jennifer, do you want to add it to anything that Megan just said?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Megan. The only thing that I would add would be that for anyone that is interested in doing this challenge and maybe is looking to add to what they already have, or maybe they don't have everything that they'd like, they can look for local producers and buy local, and they can also maybe trade Trading is also a really fantastic way to exchange. And sometimes there's work exchanges. You could chop wood, or you could help someone put away their garden. There's always an endless amount of work involved with local foods, you know, mending nets and things like that. So being able to help out a producer through labor and through spending time with them could be a great way to procure some local foods for the challenge.
Hmm. These are all such great suggestions. Thank you both. I wanted to ask, maybe from your personal, if you guys are cooks yourselves or, you know, make a lot of food at home, what would you put on your menu for the next 7 days? Maybe like a breakfast or lunch, a snack or dinner. Do you have any examples from your own personal pantries that you'd like to share?
Yeah, for me, definitely fish. I swear that I could live off of anything that comes out of the sea, probably. Anything from seaweed to fish. But I think salmon's a really easy one. You could eat it for every meal of the day, or at least I could. Everything from lox in the morning on a bagel, or even on some local eggs if you have a neighbor who has chickens, or if you can purchase eggs locally from the marketplace. And then also, if you cook up a big bunch of salmon at the beginning of the week, you can eat on it for a couple of days. I mean, I think that's the beauty of some of these items, is you can transform them in many different ways, which allows for versatility, and that way you don't get bored. So you could take a salmon fillet one night, and what doesn't get consumed could then be turned into salmon patties, or you can even take the shredded flaked fish and mix it into an omelet the next day. So really just trying to be creative. And then of course, as Jennifer had already mentioned, ensuring that we waste as little food as possible. So if there is anything that can't be consumed, then making sure that we return that to either a compost, recycle situation, so that we are minimizing our waste impact as well.
Jennifer, how about you? What's one of your favorite local foods?
Yeah, I really love berries. I definitely would probably have lots of berries somewhere in the menu, whether for breakfast, lunch, and or dinner. I also I have a friend that is an amazing mushroom harvester, and she has gifted me quite a lot of mushrooms that I've pickled and put away. And so I'd probably be looking at some of the mushrooms that have been preserved. And then I guess the other thought is that potatoes are something that always do super well, no matter where you are. And so I'll probably be looking for potatoes on the marketplace, or seeing if anyone needs help digging up potatoes in their garden. So yeah. And then kale also does really well in Southeast. So if there's kale, I think those are the main staples. There's always little things here and there.
Right. Little forest treats, little delicacies. Well, we touched on this a little bit, but of course, not everyone who lives here has easy access to local foods or boats or fishing gear, processing tools, and maybe most importantly, the time it all takes. So what resources are available to make local foods affordable and easy to buy?
Yeah, so we have some great resources. As I already mentioned, I'm the market manager for the Southeast Alaska Food Hub, the Salt and Soil Marketplace. So if folks are interested in purchasing from local producers, a lot of local producers congregated in one location, the marketplace is a great opportunity for that. You just go to www.saltandsoilmarketplace.com. Other great options are reaching out directly to producers. The Panhandle Produce out by Costco. They also do a really great job. Everything that they hold within their store is all locally derived as well. The other thing you can do is reach out to your neighbor. Like Jennifer always said, there's a lot of labor involved. There's a lot of labor of love involved in local food. And so helping somebody maybe put their garden to bed for the winter and they're willing to trade you, that's a very economical way to gain local foods. And then I think we also have some great opportunities coming up. I believe there's one more open air market for the Jack. And I know that there's a lot of local food producers who participate in that open air market as well.
And Jennifer, anything to add?
Yeah. So I think that I forgot to mention earlier about the process of learning. is really key to this challenge. And so we're always learning, and we want to emphasize that doing this challenge is a great way to see and observe things that we want to plan for next year. So as we kind of come to the tail end of our season with foods, it's a great way to plan for next year, things we want to learn about, planning on making time for these things, or planning on finding that expert that can help mentor and teach, and those learning opportunities. And so I think the time is a huge challenge. And I think making the time for it, and planning on making the time is something that each of us can try to do. So.
Well, Jennifer and Megan, thank you so much for speaking with me today about the 7-day Eat Local Food Challenge. It sounds like it's going to be, you know, a lot of fun and exciting, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. So I really appreciate all the information that you have both shared with me today. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I would like to plug one kind of pre-event that's happening tonight. As we said, educational opportunities around the food system are super important to this challenge. And so Melanie Brown is actually doing a Skillshare this evening. And if folks are interested, they can find that on the Salt and Soil Marketplace website, or look us up on the Salt and Soil Facebook page or the Local Food Challenge Southeast Alaska Facebook page for the Zoom link. And she's going to be teaching a class on how to utilize bones from animals like deer and caribou and moose to make super nutritious broth. So if people are interested, that's going to be held tonight via Zoom. And that information can be found on our Facebook pages or on the website.
Great. Well, thank you both so much. I really appreciated talking with you today. And lots of luck with the food challenge on a personal level and on an organizational level. So I hope you guys have a great afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.